In the name of Jesus, the promised Messiah, amen. Our gospel reading today from Luke challenges us with a simple question. It's repeated in our reading today, what shall we do? Or from our Old Testament reading, which parallels our gospel reading, how shall we return? What shall we do? You could think of it as a question of Christian ethics. Ethics means how we live as Christians. Ethics can be translated simply as habits. What are our Christian habits? What shall we do? This is the second season or Sunday of the season Advent. Advent's a season of arrival. That's what the word means, getting ready, just like we get ready for Christmas, to be prepared. We began our service today like we did last week with words of scripture, arise, get up, get ready. John the Baptist is the prophet who proclaims the way of the Lord in scripture. He appears as a promise in Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament. You open it up and there next is Matthew, Mark, Luke, which begin with John the Baptist. Behold, the prophet Malachi writes, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of his people. Elijah, that mighty prophet who spoke and lived God's power, who turned hearts in his day, and a new Elijah, John the Baptist, who will speak and prepare and live and turn hearts for power to save in Jesus. This Elijah will go before the Lord in the power of Elijah, turning hearts of his people. Turning hearts, arising, preparing. That's what John the Baptist does. The biblical language of Advent is this, turning, arising, preparing. You know, it reminds me, because I like food, of cooking. Like turning food over, like that pancake, is it done? Like turning it over to see if it's ready to go. Rising and baking bread. Preparing a meal. The prayers of the day that we use in Advent, last Sunday, this Sunday, that Christians have used for centuries have this cooking up language. Stir up. That's how the prayers start. Stir up. Because it's in stirring that you get the flavor. Stirring, like in cooking. It's the stirring. It's the turning. It's the arising. It's the preparing. God is cooking up something. That's what Advent's about. Something special in us. We get a little taste of it even. God is turning hearts. Turning hearts away from distraction, preparing us again, stirring up attentions, lives of repentance and forgiveness as followers of Christ. In our gospel reading today, John tells us then to bear fruit, another cooking language, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The Christian life ethics works like this. It starts in humility, not with our power, but it starts with what we can't do. It starts with repentance. And it actually starts with what we get wrong and don't do. Turn from sin. Turn from selfishness. Turn to God. Turn to neighbor. You might even have to have some fire of God's law applied, like in cooking, to make it right. What to repent of? All the selfishness of sin, all the trying to do it ourselves, all of the ways we don't do it, all of our going our way instead of God's ways is prepare the way of the Lord, not our way. His perfect will is to love others, to love Him, and all the lust, and all the greed, and all the restlessness, all the vain and the petty little hurts which add up in our hearts. Repent of them all. Repent of them all. Turn. Arise. Prepare. Live. Return to the Lord. Turning. Repenting. Arising. God is waking us up from sinful and selfish ways to arise, to prepare, to bear fruits in keeping with repentance, stirring us up to live fulfilling lives of repentance and forgiveness as followers of Christ. John the Baptist is there in the wilderness, sort of a wake-up call kind of guy. How to break, right, those sinful and selfish habits. Well, in our text, they go out to the wilderness. There's really no distractions. That's what that means. Luke gives us a nice litany of the powers of the day. Tiberius, who is known in history as being vain and corrupt. And then we get John the Baptist, this simple wanderer in the wilderness. And he's a star. And they come out to hear John's message, which is essentially repent or stop. Stop the sinful ways. Do what the Lord wants and wills for you and others. In our gospel reading, the crowds who arise and go out to see John are stirred up somehow to ask him a number of times. Each group asks him this question, what shall we do? John sizes up each group who asks him. The ones who come with a lot of clothes and stuff, John says, well, if you got two tunics, give one. Be giving. To the ones who come to him who trade in money, like tax collectors, he says, collect only what your job requires. Be honest. Be straightforward. Try and help your clients. You could think of it that way. Don't be greedy. To the soldiers who come to John, John says, don't shake down or exhort others for money. Don't beat people up. Be content with what you have. Keep law and order for the sake of the neighbor. Doesn't all this sound familiar? What group are you? What group am I? Overconsumption, indifference to others, ungenerosity, superficial spirituality, self-righteousness, characterizing our neighbors in the worst possible light, seeing people as things to take instead of people to serve. What shall we do? Well, look at what we have. And if we have more, give a little, right? What shall we do? Do your jobs with some honesty and integrity. People start to notice. Be faithful. What shall we do? Put the best construction, meaning really be better listeners first. Say better things about others. What shall we do? Be content with our callings. Have ambition, yes, but don't let it kill out the contentment and peace that God gives you here and now. Be faithful, but be open-hearted. John's message is not repentance for repentance' sake. All of these things are what God wills for our life, a fulfilling, meaningful, peaceful life. It's not just for self-improvement. John's message turns us to real fulfillment, prepares us to the fulfiller, Jesus Christ. John turned, he prepared, he stirred up, he arose lives closer to God to be part of God's plan, God's purposes, God's ways, his promise of salvation, his forgiveness of sins, his peace, which only he gives. John points to that one, Jesus Christ. He can truly raise the dead. He can truly give fulfilling peace, which lasts beyond this life. He can truly strengthen us to love in ways we didn't even know possible. That's what John does, getting ready for that kind of fulfillment that we experience even now in our lives by faith. Christmas, after all, means Christmas, or the service of Christ, the Mass of Christ. We celebrate Christmas by worshiping and serving God, right? Who came to serve us. Christ who serves us today in his words of forgiveness, challenge but comfort. Christ who serves us again today in his meal of peace and wholeness. We prepare each Christmas by serving Christ, by following his way of repentance, and by serving Christ in our daily tasks and vocations. It's a life of sacrifice. One Christian commentator sums up our gospel reading today, I thought, really nicely. He says, John's message calls here in his day to prepare for Jesus' arrival, and for our day too, not by frantic busyness or materialistic generosity, but by a recalculation of our course and an openness to a Savior who comes among us still. A recalculation, a turning, a preparing, a stirring, an arising. Jesus is born for the world at Christmas. He comes among us and is with us still this year. And how does Jesus' work in the world. What shall we do, Jesus? What shall you do through us, Jesus? The question from our gospel reading, how does Jesus work in the world? It's not magic. It's not abstract. We haven't seen him face to face, not yet. We will one day, the promise of eternal life for those who believe. We hear now Jesus' words. We take it in. He puts his forgiveness in us. He gives us new hearts of the Holy Spirit. He makes us members of the body of Christ with many gifts and abilities. Jesus works in us and through us. We come before and receive the body of Christ. And Scripture says we are the body of Christ. It's our diet. It's our nutrition. We are what we eat. The body of Christ. How then, Jesus, do you work? Well, he works through us. His ministry continues through us. The body of Christ. After all, the church isn't really a building. The building serves us. The living body of Christ. We're forgiven. We're loved. We're called to arise, to be turned, to share that good news with others, to live in faithful ways. What then shall we do? I could put the gospel reading question that way, as the body of Christ. As little Christ, as Martin Luther put it, out in the world. Or as Scripture says, as ambassadors or representatives of the one who sends us, of reconciliation, of sinners, something that we know personally. What shall we do? What shall Christ do through us? A lesson in Christian ethics. Well, be like Christ. Be honest. Be giving. Be content. Be peaceful. Repent this year of old grievances. Be more open to God's surprising power to save. You know, as you get ready for Christmas, the gospel readings are full of surprises. John, a little prophet in the wilderness at the time of the Emperor Tiberius. Old Elizabeth giving birth in a miracle to John the Baptist. A virgin and out of the way Nazareth, not even mentioned in the Old Testament, who becomes the mother of our Lord. Surprise, surprise, a turning and a rising, a preparing. It's always tempting, I suppose, right? To make the Christian life about teachings, ethics, statements of faith, instead of transformations of living. John the Baptist wasn't a teacher in that way. He was a teacher in this way, right to the heart. It's a teaching for turning and preparing and for sacrifice. It's a teaching that really goes beyond teaching and transforms. It's repentance. It's forgiveness. It's stirring. It's changing. All for Christmas. From self to God. From fear of failure to the victory of Christ. To a celebration of his birth. To him working in us. It's in the stirring. It's in the turning. It's in the arising, the preparing, that God is cooking up something again. To live fulfilling lives of repentance and forgiveness as followers of Christ. Amen.